Good morning. I have to admit that this does feel kind of strange, standing in this room that normally is filled with you on a Sunday morning, just with me and my trusty cameraman, George Lozano. Sure, it feels strange to you to be watching this from your living rooms or your kitchen tables instead of being here in the flesh. But in the midst of the strangeness of these days that we are living in, I find myself incredibly grateful that we have technology that means that we can still be connected. I find myself incredibly grateful to be part of this community, that even though we can't be together in the flesh on this day, is a community that is bonded and strong, a community that is connected deeply with the love of our God. And so it is a gift to get to lead you in worship, even if we cannot be together in physical presence. It's a gift to get to be together with you this morning. And I welcome you to this time and this space for worship today. As far as announcements in the life of our church go, the email that went out yesterday is a great reference point. I'll make sure and link it to where this video is posted, just in case you didn't get that, or just it'd be easier to click on it there. Definitely read through that carefully. There was a lot of information included there. Read that carefully about the plans that we have made as your leadership for our life together as we kind of live through these uncertain times. The reality is, this is just going to keep unfolding day by day. So the plans we sent out yesterday may change in the days to come. We will continue to communicate with you regularly, and I am just grateful, even as we are unsure of what is to come in the days ahead, that we are connected and that we have one another. I'm going to do this worship in one take, which means that all of the mistakes I might make on a Sunday morning, you will get to experience just like you would if you were here. And the grace that you extend me on a Sunday morning, you can extend me once again. Throughout our video this morning, there'll be a couple places where I'll invite you to hit pause and maybe have some conversation with the people around you or some time for personal reflection. You can respond to that invitation if you want to, or you cannot. Just keep on watching. We're about to have one of those moments because I am going to light our Christ candle for us this morning. And so, if you would like to, you can hit pause right now, and if you've got a candle and some flame nearby, you could grab that and light your own Christ candle in your own space. But we'll invite you just to take a deep breath and prepare your hearts and minds for our worship this morning as I go for my own flame. So as we prepare to light the Christ candle, I would invite you to repeat after me. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So I'd invite you as we begin our worship to join me in the call to worship. If technology is kind to me, there will be words that appear on your screen right now. You can join me along with me in this. If technology was not kind to me, there will be no words, and I just invite you to join me prayerfully as you hear my words. The hands that healed the blind man are hands that comfort and console the afflicted. The hands that healed the blind man are the hands that give hope to the sufferings of humanity. Let us worship our God who cradles us in his healing hands. I've asked our music leadership to stay away just out of concern for their own health and safety. And so this week we will not have any musical offerings in our worship. Hope to maybe include some recorded offerings from them in the weeks to come. But in place of that this morning, I'd just like to invite you into a time of reflection and thanksgiving and praise where you are, as that is often what our music invites us into at the beginning of our worship service. And I think it is important for us to give thanks in the midst of these times. And so I'm asking you, what are you thankful for today? And my invitation here is to get specific, right? Think about something specific from the past 24 hours for which you can give thanks. I think part of the invitation of these days that we are living in is this call for us to be deeply present to the present moment, right? And the more that we can be aware of what is good around us, the more we can be aware of what we have to give thanks for, I think the better for you and I. So as I was thinking about this, my own response to this question, it reminded me of a scene that took place in my house last night. I was in the midst of cooking dinner, and I'm going to be honest with you, I was kind of in an anxious and dark place. I had just spent a lot of time reading news and thinking about what it might mean for us and continuing to try to figure out what life would look like for our community, for my family, and just was stuck kind of in that worry as I was trying to cook dinner and also be present to my kids. Which I was doing a horrible job of, right? And so Bryn is trying to talk to me, and I'm doing that thing parents do where we're like kind of listening, but really like everything that is streaming in our mind is front and center instead. But in the midst of that, she asked me a question to which she was wanting a response, and so I kind of had to like shift my focus for real. And her question was, Mom, do you know that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? And unfortunately, I do know that song, Who Let the Dogs Out? And she, I realized later, I was trying to think, where did this come from? But she had had a reward day at school on Friday, and they'd gotten to watch the movie 101 Dalmatians, and the song is featured in that movie. And so I told her, yeah, I know that song. And she immediately ran over to our smart speaker and said, hey, Alexa, play Who Let the Dogs Out? And, you know, instantaneously, Bryn created, because she's Bryn, a dance party in the middle of the kitchen with me. And as my body started moving to the music and just taking in her joy and laughter as she was barking along to that song, I was just taken out of that place of darkness and anxiety and pulled into the joy of the present moment with my kid. And so today, I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for her spirit. And I'm going to say something I never imagined in my entire life I would say. I'm thankful for the song, Who Let the Dogs Out, and the Baha Man that wrote it. So what's something specific that you give thanks for today? If you have other people with you in your house, you might pause the video and invite everybody to share something they're thankful for together. If you are on your own right now at home, you might pause and just do some journaling or just take some time to reflect on that. I encourage you, if you are living on your own right now, to make a phone call to somebody you love after worship. Just just to check in and share. You know, you can share what you're thankful for, invite them to do the same. Just take this time to give thanks to your God for something you have to give thanks for this day. As we continue our worship, I'm going to invite us into a time of confession, using the words we've been using in this season of Lent, where we are focusing on the hands of Christ. And we are learning more about our own hands and the ways God calls us to use them for goodness and grace in the world. Yet we also must study the work of our hands and repent of all the ways we misuse them, the ways our hands can become agents of sin, hurt, destruction, and greed. So as we enter this time of reflection and confession, I invite you to place your hands in front of you so that you can focus on them in this time of prayer. Let us pray. Lord, by your hand you created this whole world and each of us in it. We are your good creations, made with love and shaped by grace. Yet by your hand you also gifted us with freedom, and in our freedom we too often fail to follow your way. Instead of using our hands for goodness and grace in your world, we use them to mar your good creation. God, Christ's hands were ones that heal. Today, we confess the ways our hands can get in the way of Christ's healing work. Lord, for hands that carry the burden of their unhealth alone, instead of sharing the load with the only one who can make us whole, Lord, by your grace, forgive us. Lord, for hands that strike out in anger instead of turning to you with that emotional pain, Lord, by your grace, forgive us. Lord, for hands that reach for unhealthy substances that numb the pain instead of reaching out for the help they need, Lord, by your grace, forgive us. Lord, for these and all the other ways our hands mar your good creation, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, open our hands this day that we might receive your grace. Help us to cling to the promise of your love for us. Your love that leads us to life. Amen. Friends, hear this good news. The God who made you is also the God who has marked you as his own. The God who redeemed you is also the God who holds you and will not let you go. The God who sustains you is also the God who gives you life. Life here, life now, life always, life eternal. Friends, hear and believe this good news. You are held by hands of grace, hands of love, now and always. Amen. I'd invite you to pray with me these words we have been praying as we approach scripture each week. Our gracious God gifts us with the words of life. And Lord, we ask that you would help us receive your gift with open hands. As we study the hands of Christ this day, hands that heal, may Christ's witness shape the work of our hands. Lord, send your Spirit to shed light upon your word, upon us this day. Amen. Friends, our scripture reading this day comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. Let's listen for God's word for us this day. Jesus and his disciples came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to Jesus and begged him to touch and heal him. Taking the blind man's hand, Jesus led him out of the village. After spitting on his eyes and laying his hands on the man, he asked him, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "I see people. They look like trees, only they are walking around." Then Jesus placed his hands on the man's eyes again. He looked with his eyes wide open. His sight was restored and he could see everything clearly. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. So I have to admit, as I kept reading the story, as life unfolded day by day in this really surreal way this week, it just got more and more comical to me. Humor is important in times like these. You need to find ways to laugh right now. There is some significant truth in that whole "laughter is the best medicine" saying, which is probably why the story just strikes me as funny. Because God knows I need a good laugh right now, and God knows you do too. It feels like that just might be part of the gift in the word for us this morning. Because Lord have mercy, this healing story of Jesus is clearly not a healing story about the coronavirus. There is not a whole lot of social isolation going on in this text. In fact, could there be more touching going on here? I don't know about you, but I'm finding myself way more aware of how much I touch things and how many other people have likely touched those same things. How much I touch my face in a given hour, y'all, it is way more than I realized. I don't know about you, but I am way more mindful about these hands of mine and all that they touch than I have ever been before. So when I read this text, as this week just kept on unfolding, all I could see was the touching. There's the group of friends in close proximity, taking hold of the blind man, bringing him to Jesus, and then begging Jesus to touch him in order to heal him. So what does Jesus do? He grabs that same blind man's hand, who was just touching all the friends' hands, mind you, and there is no mention of proper hand washing or sanitizing methods going on here. Little PSA, don't forget, 20 seconds with soap, 60% alcohol content or higher on that sanitizer. Jesus grabs the blind man's hand and leads him outside the village. Then Jesus spits on his eyes. He spits on his eyes. He takes a bajillion respiratory particles and spits them directly into two open orifices on this man's face. Seriously, y'all. Then, when the saliva isn't quite enough for 20/20 vision, Jesus takes his hands, those touched who knows what hands, as Jesus is in the middle of a healing tour, he takes those hands of his and places them on that man's eyes again. Jesus touches his saliva-soaked eyes. And suddenly those eyes can open wide. Their sight is restored. Those eyes can see clearly. This is clearly not a healing story about coronavirus. It's a healing story of a blind man, which also feels fitting in this week we are living in. For I don't know about you, but blind and a little bewildered is exactly how I feel right now. We can't see this virus. We can't see it on surfaces that it can live on for up to 3 days. Can't recognize its presence in us until after it's been hanging around for a while, as many as 2 to 14 days before we start experiencing visible symptoms. Which means we are walking around blind to it and to what the future may hold for us. Sudden blindness, for those who could see before, is disorienting. It stops you in your tracks, leaves you groping as you try to make your way in the world. Which is a bit
what life has felt like in these past couple of days. And I have a feeling it is what it will continue to feel like in the days to come. Lots of trying to get a feel for things, lots of slow, cautious steps as we try to make our way into the future we cannot yet see. I can't tell you how many times in the past days I've said there is absolutely no roadmap for this. We'll just have to make our way by walking. The truth is, that is always true. We never know what life is going to throw at us. We never know what is coming around the next bend. We never know what tomorrow will hold. We just are more aware of that today than we are on most of our days. We are always blind to our future. We can imagine it, dream it, picture it, and work like hell to move towards those images we hold and about what we hope for. But the truth is, none of us have a crystal ball ever. We are always blind to our future. Today, we are just way more aware of that fact than ever. There's something in that image of Jesus taking the blind man by the hand and guiding him to the place where he offers him healing, where he helps him see clearly, that is helpful for me today. Close your eyes for a moment. Allow yourself to be surrounded by the darkness. Allow yourself to feel the uncertainty, the fear, the anxiety you are carrying right now. If you, like me, have been trying to keep stuffing it down each and every time it bubbles up in you, just allow it to rise up to the surface of your consciousness. Feel it, see it, name it in your mind's eye. What you are worried about, what you are afraid will come to pass. And then, in the midst of that darkness, imagine Christ taking you and all that you carry, all that uncertainty, that fear, that anxiety, taking you and all that darkness by the hand and guiding you, helping you find your way through this darkness, this blindness, to that moment when you can see, when you can see clearly again. So open your eyes once more and hear this truth from me. We will make our way. We will make our way through this. Our God is not a God who abandons his people. Our God is a God who draws close. Our God is a God who takes us by the hand. Our God is a God who leads and who guides. Our God is a God who longs for healing, for wholeness, for life, for us all. Our God is a God who gave everything so that God could give us those very gifts. We will make our way. We will make our way through this because our God is faithful. No matter what comes, no matter how these days we are living keep unfolding, we will make our way. I've been preaching all year about how isolation is death-dealing and destructive to us. I have been preaching all year about how community and connection, love and belonging is what brings life to us. And we see that truth in this text. There is so much touching going on in this healing text because it is life-giving. It is life-giving to have friends that will grab you by the hand and take you to the healer. Jesus time and time again used his hands to offer healing because touch, connection, is so often a conduit for wellness in life. So much of this remains true right now. except for the one part that looks different between this healing story of a blind man and the healing story of coronavirus in our community right now. We can't see the future. Because of its incubation period, we do not know for sure how widespread the disease is in our area. However, we can look to areas where the disease hit earlier than here and see the impact it is having there. We can watch what is unfolding in Italy and learn that the best way we fight this virus, the best way to stop its spread, the best way to protect the most vulnerable among us, the best way to support our healthcare centers and the incredible people who staff them is to stay home, to physically isolate ourselves from others, to only go out when it's necessary for supplies or when we have work to do that demands it of us. Healing will come in these times from hands that are really, really careful. Hands that not only wash for 20 seconds or sanitize with that high-powered stuff, but hands that also keep their distance. Hands that stay home. Hands that hunker down. Physical isolation is the path to healing. But y'all, full-on isolation is not. Which is why we are working hard to figure out technology that will allow us to gather and actually see each other's faces, to have real-time conversation with one another, to be able to check in and name what is so hard about this, to be able to pray together, to be able to hold on to each other and keep on living this life together, even if we have to be physically apart. That's why we'll be reaching out on the phone to those who won't be able to access that technology, making sure to have a conversation on a regular basis that reminds them that they are not alone. It's why I want to know how you are doing. If you or someone you love gets sick, I want you to call me or text me or email me to let me know. It's why we want to hear what your prayer requests are. It's why we'll be sending those out to everyone on a regular basis. It's why we want to know what you need as you live into this new normal. I used to always joke that I could never homeschool my children. And I would say this even before they were born, so this is not a comment on my daughters. This one is all about me. I've always said I would never homeschool my kids because it wouldn't be pretty and it wouldn't end well. I am learning to never say never. If you are like me, Anita, parents who never thought they would homeschool their kids online support group, we are here for that. We are here for whatever you need as you live into this new normal. Physical isolation is the path to healing right now, but social, emotional, and spiritual connection are also part of that same path. We are a community of deep love and belonging. We are a community where our relationships matter. Even though we aren't all gathered together in this space today, those things are still true. And here's one more thing that is also true. We are a community who belongs to a God who is good and gracious. A God that draws close. A God who will grab you by the hand and spit in your eyes if that is what you need. A God who will guide us through these days, will help us find our way one cautious step at a time. A God whose hands are hands that heal and will guide our own to be agents of healing as well. Know this day that you are held. Held in the hands of your good and gracious God. Held by this community our good and gracious God has created amongst us. Together with God, we will make our way. We will make our way through these uncertain times together. Amen. Our God of love comes to us with hands full of God's abundance. May we approach God with hands that offer our time, our energy, our skills, our resources, our very lives to our Lord. So in this time of offering, this is another opportunity where you might hit the pause button for some reflection if you are with others, or some personal reflection if you are on your own. I'd invite you to think, what will you offer God this week? We are all being asked to make some significant sacrifices to be part of God's healing work in the world. What sacrifices will you make in the week ahead? What will you offer to God and the people you love as you live these days? Having shared in that time of offering, let us pray. Holy Lord, bless these gifts we have placed before you. Allow the work of our hands to be used to further your work in our world. Until that day comes when all the hands you have created are set free, filled with enough, and joined together, united in love by your goodness and grace. Amen. I'd invite you to pray with me as we pray for one another, for our community, and for our world. I will, like is the tradition of when we gather in person, I will say, Lord, in your mercy, and we invite you to respond, hear our prayer. Gracious and holy God, we give you thanks for the gift of this day. We give you thanks for the gift of this chance to gather before you in your word, with others in spirit. To be reminded of just who you are and who we are as your people. God, we give you thanks that you are a God who came to us in Jesus Christ. We give you thanks that Christ's hands were hands that heal. And Lord, we pray for those healing hands to be at work in our world this day. Hear the prayers we offer you. God, we lift up Bill Walter as he continues to recover from his hip surgery. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we lift up all of our members or loved ones, as well as the many we do not know and have connection to, who are living in long-term care facilities right now. Lord, we just pray your protection over them in the midst of this outbreak. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we ask for prayers for Gracie Ewing as she recovers from cataract surgery this past week. We also ask your prayers over Tom as he cares for her. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Gracious God, we pray for all of the doctors, nurses, and medical staff who are providing care for people around the world and right here in our own community. Lord, we lift up in particular those members of our congregation and loved ones connected to us in our community's life who are on the front lines, who are those people caring for people in hospitals and doctors' offices in our community and beyond. Lord, we just pray protection over them, that they would be able to stay healthy and continue to do that important, important life-saving work. We also pray provision over them, provision of resources and supplies, and equipment, as well as provision of strength and energy and stamina, so that they have everything they need to respond to this crisis right now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for all the people who are facing significant financial issues in these times. We pray for provision over each of them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for families with children who will need care now that schools are closed in many places in our nation. We pray for our own government officials here in our community and school leaders as they make decisions about our own communities. We just ask again just for guidance and provision in these times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God, we pray for children who are food insecure, who rely on the meals they receive at school for free. We pray just for our government and communities all over our nation to be able to provide in the midst of school closures for these little ones so that they may have everything they need in this time. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And God just creates space for people to lift up the prayers that they carry this day in the silence right now. I want to just pray that for everyone and the requests and the people and the concern and the worry and the situations that are on their hearts and minds this day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And now, Lord, we lift all of this up to you. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. To close today, for a charge, I want to share with you a poem written by the Reverend Lynn Ungard called Pandemic. It's a poem for us to think about this time that we have entered into, especially time when we are home and away from work, whether that be full-time for some of us that are working from home, or just the times when we are home for other of us that are still out in our community. Listen to these words she offers us. What if you thought of it as the Jews considered the Sabbath? The most sacred of times. Cease from travel. Cease from buying and selling. Give up just for now on trying to make the world different than it is. Sing, pray, touch only those to whom you commit your life. Center down. And when your body has become still, reach out with your heart. Know that we are connected in ways that are terrifying and beautiful. You could hardly deny it now. Know that our lives are in one another's hands. Surely that has come clear. Do not reach out your hands. Reach out your heart. Reach out your words. Reach out all the tendrils of compassion that move invisibly where we cannot touch. Promise this world your love, for better or for worse, in sickness and in health, as long as we all shall live. And as you move from this time of worship into the rest of what this day will hold for you, may the grace of Christ attend you, the love of God surround you, and the Holy Spirit keep you this day and always. Amen.